The Valley of Blessings Revisited. We think sometimes when we are blessed, I'll never forget about what's happening. I'll remember it forever, and I'll know the right formula, and everything will be all right. And then we forget. And God has to take us back that we can visit the Valley of Blessings again. In 1 Kings chapter 20, beginning with verse 22. 1 Kings chapter 20, beginning with verse 22. Give you time to turn there. Begin reading. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, "Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the end of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee." And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, "Their God," talking about the gods of Israel, "their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his palace, and put captains in their room. And number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they." And he hearkened unto his voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphex to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake to the king of Israel and said, "Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, 'The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys,' therefore will I deliver all this great multitude in thine hand, and they shall know that I am the Lord." Our Father, we need a simple, childlike message to deliver on these verses. We pray that we will receive the impact of what these verses teach. Help us now to be able by the Holy Spirit to be practical, to be truthful, and to have a message that will sustain us in our hour of need, that we might glorify your name. We ask it in the lovely name of Jesus, and for his sake, amen. Someone might ask the question, and it would be a good question, why does God do things like he does them? Now, you've asked that question. Why is it that he deals in mystery? What's this deal about mountains and valleys? What is this about trials and testing? What about all these ups and downs? Why can't we have it another way? Why do we have to have all of this? The mysteries of God. And there are many. There are many things I don't understand and you don't understand, and we're not going to understand them. Many of them.
Why?
Why has my life taken the turns it has taken? And why has yours? And what about the things that are going to happen? That we're going to shake our heads and say, why, God? Why is it like this? Well, I'm going to give you a good old-time Arkansas illustration that if you'll listen to it, it'll help you to understand if you're a person with common thinking. Now, if you're a high intellectual, this is going to, I don't want to go over your head or under it, but it'll go one way or the other. But if you really are a person who understands common talk, this will do more to help you understand why God deals in mysteries and why we don't understand a lot of things than anything I can think of. There was an old Arkansas grandma who had a bunch of chickens. And in the wintertime, she had to put them in a chicken house because she didn't want them to get out and get too cold in weather like we had a week or so ago. So she'd go in the chicken house and she'd take her corn and strew it all over the dirt floor. Just lots of corn. And before she'd let the chickens in, she'd go out and get a bunch of wheat straw and put it about that deep all over the corn. Cover it up. And one time one of her grandkids said, Grandma, why do you go to all the trouble of putting that corn on the dirt floor and then covering it with wheat straw? She said, two reasons. First of all, the chickens are inside in the wintertime and they need exercise, so they got a scratch for it. Can't just go get it, they got a scratch. You get down there and find the corn. Gives them exercise. They need that. Let them lay better. Secondly, they think they're outsmarting me by finding the corn I hid. Now, let's transfer that over into deep theology. And it can be transferred. God covers some things up because He wants us to scratch for it. He wants us to get in and dig. That's why He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. The work without thee is not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly scratching out the word of truth. It's there, folks. Scratch for it. And then, but you need the exercise, the spiritual exercise. And then too, after you've done it, you might think that you kind of just outsmarted God by finding it. And that's exactly why many of the mysteries. And that's why the valley. That's why the mountaintop experience. Now in these verses I read to you, isn't it a little bit exciting to you that although this happened thousands of years ago, Syria today is the enemy of Israel. Just like it was back thousands of years ago. And Syria is on the wrong side then, on the wrong side now. Now, what can I learn from that? There's some folks that just hadn't got sense enough to get on the right side. They're going to be on the wrong side of everything that happens. Now, why that's true, I don't know, because I'm not on the wrong side. You'll have to ask somebody who's on the wrong side why they are determined, no matter what happens, to be on the wrong side of life against God's glory, against God's blessing. They're going to be against God and not for it. My prayer is tonight that no one in this audience is so rebellious that you have made it your career to be on the wrong side. And what is the wrong side? It's the side that God's not on. That's the wrong side. In this scripture, The Syrians had been over and over beat, whipped by the Israelis thousands of years ago. And they had to have some kind of rationale. Why have we been whipped by this little bunch of people? Why do they keep defeating us? And they called in all of their experts, all their advisors, and somebody came up with a bright idea. Here's why. We've been fighting those Jews on the mountains. And their God is a God of the mountaintop experience. If we can ever get them down in the valley, if we can ever get them off those hills and mountains and get them down in the valley, their God cannot help them in the valley. Because their God is the God of worshiping on Mount Moriah. If we can just get them off the mountaintop, we can whip them. That's what the devil thinks about you. That's his game plan. As a child of God, get you down in the valley, he says, and you'll, like Job's wife told him, curse God and die. Just get them in the valley. And you know, many of God's people have been so nurtured on only mountaintop food. They want a continual mountaintop experience in their church life, in their marriage, in raising their kids, on their job. No way do they want a valley experience. And the devil is right about a lot of people. They can serve God and praise God and honor God as long as you can keep them on some high pitch. If you get them down in the valley where there is responsibility and where there is heartache, where there is sorrow, where there is pain, and they fold up. Now, thank God the devil's wrong about those who are truly God's children. We may have some painful thoughts. We may question God. But those who are truly saved by the grace of God know that God is the God of the valley as well as the God of the mountaintop. When it seems as though there's no answer and everything is going absolutely contrary to our spiritual experience, just remember that here's what God said to the king of Israel. There came a man of God. Now, not everybody who wears the tag up here, man of God, is a man of God. A woman of God. The devil knows he can't get his dirty, filthy nose in God's business unless he sends someone along wolf in sheep's clothing. It amazes me how people are so naive and do not check out the very people they are trusting their faith to. And a man of God came. And this man of God said to the king of Israel, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the mountain or the hill, Har, which is actually a mountain, but he is not the God of the valley, therefore I will deliver all the great multitude in thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. When do you really know that God is God? When do you have that lifetime eternal experience that God is really God? It's not when you're up on the mountaintop shouting hallelujah and praise God and everybody's patting you on the back, but it's when you are alone in the valley, then you will know who is God. And if you haven't been there, may God grant that you'll have that privilege to know that God is the God of the valleys as well as the God of the mountains. As we turn through the pages of this great book, we find that the blessings of God in Jesus Christ are in the valley. They're down there in the depths. And you know, one thing about the valley that I have learned to appreciate, and I hope you'll appreciate just thinking about this, and that is that on the mountain, we're wasteful. Oh, we're so wasteful on the mountaintop. Because up there, we're only interested in the delicacies. We're only interested in those things that are tickling us. And we forget about all of those things and we say, that's useless. And we leave it alone and we don't have anything to do with it. We waste so much on the mountaintop. But then when we get in the valley, we start looking for that which has been discarded and thrown away. And you know, God is so good at taking what has been thrown away and making it the very best. If you're here and you feel like you've been discarded by someone, you've been thrown away, you have not been accepted, you are the kind of material that God wants to build His kingdom out of. Because it was those that no one wanted, those that had been denied, that God took. And even in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 42, listen, Jesus said to them, did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You see, Jesus was a reject. He was rejected. The Bible says that who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And the whole 53rd chapter of Isaiah talks about the fact that our Lord and our Savior is a reject. He's a castaway. He was one that people did not want. And God made him the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, and the head cornerstone. We need to know that the fabulous riches that many of us have overlooked are the very things that will make our life what God intended for it to be. You won't find those on the mountaintop. A lot of people lust to live their whole life on the mountain. But it's the small things that people do not really believe are worth anything that God takes and makes His bright miracles out of. You remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel? You know, he was up there and it hadn't rained in a long time. Elijah looked out there across the Mediterranean Sea and there was a cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, if Elijah had been like a lot of high-flying preacher today, he said, I don't want anything that small. God, if you can't give me a big thunderstorm out there to pull in, forget it. But Elijah knew that if God put the little cloud out there, it was enough to bring the rain to completely satisfy the thirst of a dry and weary land. And don't try to tell God what He has to put out there on the horizon. What He does put out there in the valley, reach out and take it and use it to the fullest. Because it is that which people who do not know the power of the Spirit discard and cast away that God takes and uses for his honor and for his glory. And David, a little shepherd boy, goes out there and here's a giant, big, a mountain man. And here's a little valley boy. And they say, and Saul tries to do what everybody tries to do that doesn't know the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the valley. He says, here, take my armor. And Saul was a big old tall man. David, little old scroungy teenager. He said, here, take my armor. And he puts all that heavy armor on that little boy and he just weights him down. He can't even move. David said, I don't need all that big armor. All I need is a little old slingshot and some little old rocks. I'll take care of it. And they all laughed at him. But in the valley, you don't have to have atomic bombs and nuclear weapons and big fast jets. All you need is the power of God and those little stones cause the big giants to fall. And it's always the little, small, insignificant things that brings the giants down to God's side. And even the town where Jesus was born. The Old Testament says, Bethlehem, are too little among all of those of Judea? Yea, out of thee shall come a Savior, that little town of Bethlehem. Here was Jerusalem over there, big metropolis with all the big, high-flying religious dogs, you know. And over here in Bethlehem, in the valley, comes the boy who became the man who died on the cross outside the city to save mankind from their sins. God said to Moses, out in the desert, what is that in thine hand? And all he had was a shepherd's stick. And God said, with that shepherd's stick. And it was a hated thing. Did you know that? The shepherd's stick was hated. Do you think anyone said, I want you to grow up to be a shepherd? No, they were hated people. That was the lowest down vocation. And yet it was the vocation that prepared people to be in their fullness. God used many a man to start as a shepherd to become great leaders. But it had to start out with something that you have in your hand. And tonight, as if you're not now, if one day you walk through that valley, I want to ask you this question. And I want you to think about it very carefully. What do you need to do tonight? What need do you need to happen to you tonight for you to make your valley experience that which will make you the blessing of God? Now listen to me. What I'm going to say now at first sounds so very, very common and very easy. But what I'm going to say will be the most difficult thing you will ever do in all your life. It's very, very important. How do you take the valley experience and make it the way to defeat all the enemies that are against your very being, and there are many of them? You must see yourself as divine through the power of Jesus of Nazareth. Divine until you can see little old you. A sinner by nature, as divine, you will never be able to have the victory that God has given to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. One time, and I'm not going to give you this man's name because if I did, it would prejudice you. So I'll let you go dig it out and see if you can find out. One time, black man, probably about 40 years ago. No education. His skin against him. Everything against him. This black man had got to the end of a cotton row. Hoeing cotton. And he got to the end of the row and he did something that changed his life. He looked up to heaven and said something like this. Lord, why'd I have to spend my whole life in this here cotton row and all I'm getting out of is a hut and some fat back? Is that all you've got for me? Is a hut and some fat back and some corn pone? And he stopped right there and asked God, is that all there is? Somehow an answer came back to him in his ignorance and in his hopelessness. And there at the end of that cotton row, he said, I am divine. I am like God. Now I am God. That's what the devil did. But I am godly. And he believed it. And he believed that he was a priest of God. Like every believer is. And he walked away from that cotton patch. And before he died, he knew luxury, both physical and emotional and spiritual, that most people never dream of. Now, whether you agree with him or not, in how he ended up, is not my purpose in preaching this message. You will do no good in the valley or on the mountain. Until you believe that you are divine. Your humanity won't get it done. You must know that in your heart, God has made you holy. And most of God's people do not believe there's any divinity around them. We glory, and I do it. And I'm ashamed of it. I actually glory in the fact that I'm wimpy. Spiritually. I'm so weak spiritually. I know that we're blessed of the poor in spirit. But God never said you're supposed to stay that way. That's the place you start. But that's not where you stop. And the blessings of the valley is to get us to where we realize that the hand of God is reaching down to lift us up to the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, Brother Bill, I don't know whether I can buy this divine business or not. Well, would you buy it if you listen to what Jesus said? So, honestly, it amazes me how little we believe Jesus. Oh, we say we're Jesus people, but we haven't got the slightest idea what he said. Oh, we might know one or two things. Let the little children come to me, and for God so loved the world, and it's finished, and I'm coming back again, that's about it. He said a lot more than that. And that's our problem is we don't have anything to fill in the valleys. We know he's virgin born. That's a mountaintop truth. He lived a perfect life, a mountaintop. He died on the cross. He is resurrected. He's coming again. All these mountaintop truths. What's going to fill in the valleys in between? What about the truths in the valley about Jesus? John, the 10th chapter. Now, I'm going to read you a number of verses before I get to what I'm really getting at, because I don't want to take it out of context. John 10:25. Now, settle down and listen to this. We're working toward Jesus saying that you are divine. You are holy. You are special. You're worth more than the whole world. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Well, do they all jump up and say hallelujah? Not on your life. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him, tried to kill him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which one of these works do you stone me? Which one of these good works I've done are you throwing the rock at me? Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. You say you're divine. That's why we're going to hit you. You have made yourself to be divine, and that we will not allow. Now his answer is rich, because he goes back into the Old Testament. That which they claimed to believe, and socked it to them. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? Is it not written in the Old Testament, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, now who is divine? Who does God see as divine? Who does God see as part of His magnificent character and personality? Those that the Word of God has come to, and they've embraced it and believed it and made it live in them. If you call them gods, little G-O-D-S, unto whom the Word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. It is forever true. So tonight, if the Word of God comes to you, if you believe what God says, then you are divine. And this belief about the fact, I didn't say that you are the God, but you have God in you. You have the nature of God through Jesus Christ. You are divine, and when you learn that in the valley, then all the riches of heaven began to fall into place for you. Now, there's only one way before you die. If you don't believe me tonight that you can prove me wrong, only one way. And that is by believing that you are divine through Jesus Christ and believe with all your heart. And then if God does not move into your life and do things that you never dreamed of, if you can believe you are divine, I mean really believe it, through Jesus Christ, that you have divinity in you, no matter what happens, I am divine. I am holy. I am of God. No matter what it looks like, I am God's child. Hallelujah. And you believe that. And all the riches of glory are mine in Christ Jesus. You start believing that with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then you tell me things won't change. Oh, they will change. And remember, You may be as bad off and not know it as the young colored teenager who got to the end of a cotton rope. And he said, why am I destined to be like this all of my life? An ignorant reject. All I have out of life, a hut, some fatback, a corn pole. Is that why you had me come in this world? Right there at the end of that cotton roll, that ignorant colored man with three strikes against him and a foul ball, that I will accept the priesthood of Jesus Christ in the valley. And because I have accepted that, I will go to the heights. Whether you liked him or not, he did. He didn't have to worry before he died about the fact that someone didn't want him to stay in their hotel because he was colored. He owned the hotel. He didn't worry about being in the back of a bus because he was chauffeured around on a Rolls Royce in every town. And whether you agreed with him or not, I am not saying that. But I am saying this. Anyone in this audience tonight who dares to accept their divinity in Christ and lives by it on a daily basis, you will be lifted higher than any hill you've ever known. And there will be no valley that will bother you because divinity knows no depth or height. It only knows eternity. Young boys and girls, I want to talk to you first. You faith. Jesus does not come back. Challenges that I can't even imagine. I'll soon be 50 years old. My best, if the worst happens, I've already had the best behind me. If the worst happens, doesn't matter. Praise God. But there you are. I would be scared silly if I was in your shoes and know what I know now, facing what I know you face, without Jesus in His fullness in your life. Young man, young woman, you're at the end of the cotton row and you don't know it. There's more for you than all this trash that you have offered to you. It's trash. No, it's worse than trash. It's what we flush down the sewer. But you don't have to live in the sewer. Tonight, with the faith of the grain of mustard seed, you can begin to claim, through Jesus who died on the cross, I am divine. I am holy. And I will rise above all that the rest of them will drown in. I will rise above it. I will be one who fulfills the purpose of God. I can be godly through Jesus Christ. I asked a young man recently, you told me one time you had been saved. Why haven't you been baptized? He said, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. And I know why he doesn't know he's saved, because he's trying to be godly without God. He's trying to be good without Jesus. He's trying to be holy without the Holy Spirit. And then there's those of us who are moving on. The middle-aged people first. The whole people between 30 and 50. What an opportunity you have. Have you claimed divinity through Christ? Are you going to try to set it out on your own? You're going to fail. You're going to start, people start blowing brains out, jumping off of bridges, being locked up in padded cells, unless they claim divinity. The playhouse is over with. It's not there anymore. And then those of us who are moving on toward the sunset years, don't you want to go out in total victory? Amen, don't you? Well then, let's forget about all of this junk. And it's junk. It's trash. And let's live the rest of our life on the plains of the divine. The holy. And you can. And I go back to my original illustration. If you're having a hard time finding that corn, just get in there and scratch. It's there. The gold isn't out here whereby I can see it. It has to be in the diamond. Why? Because it's special. That's why. So tonight as we have revisited the Valley of Blessing, I want to say these last thoughts to you. It's so hard to quit a message like this. It's so hard to stop. There's so much could be said. Don't curse the valley. There is so much down the valley that you will use because you have to. Whereas on the mountain you wasted and threw away so much. And all those folks that are living up there on the mountain, they're throwing away a lot of good stuff that's coming down the valley. And that's where you're going to pick up what they threw away and make it shine for Jesus. You can be divine and see your divinity. And walk away from that defeat. And listen to me, there's so many people who are defeated. You don't have to be. For in the valley, He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For divinity is with me. In me. You have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why not tonight just get up from where you are and come down here. Let us open this old book and show you how to be saved forever. And if you are saved, you have forgotten or you never really knew what you had, right there where you are, at the end of the cotton row. Say, through Christ, I am holy. Through Christ, I am righteous. Through Christ, I am good. Through Christ, my sins are forgiven. And I have an eternal relationship with Almighty God. And go out of that door with divinity as your portion. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And His holiness is put inside of you by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank God through Jesus, this old sharecropper